This morning we're going to be talking about Satan and how he kind of traps us. And when we talk about the enemy, we talk about him not in any way to bring him glory. We talk about him because we need to be aware of what he does. You know, how many of you, can I see a raise of hand? How many of you like spiders? Unanimously, nobody likes spiders. I am glad because we're all alike. We don't like spiders. You know, every morning, Sunday morning when we come and we move the tables, the first thing I do is I lift the table out and I give it a kick and I look carefully because, man, that's the last thing you want to do is have a spider jump out and, you know, scare you and catch you by surprise and, you know. Yeah, I don't know if you ever, you know, like in the morning, you know, we're the first ones here. And the first ones here always is the one that always walks into the spider web. You ever notice that? So it's never good to be first. I mean, I could not be first, but I choose to be first to open up and help get things ready. But this morning, James was first, so I think he got all the spider webs. But you know when you walk in the dark, and you walk in and you hit that spider web in your face and you're like, oh! And then you're wondering if one spider's crawling up your back and your neck and you know, there might be one spider underneath your seat right now. Oh, creepy, yeah? But I know, I remember one time there was a web by the door and Uncle Yuki seen it and he left it. He left it, he said. And then later on when I ran into it, he knew I ran into it. And he said, yeah, I left that there for you. So, you know, he did have his sense of humor. And, oh, I tell you, it's just like, oh, I hate when that happens. Because it's just, you know, it's in your hair. And it, that, spider webs are quite sticky, if you notice. And when I was a little kid, we didn't have, you know, Xbox and iPads. And you know what I used to do? I used to sit in the yard and I used to look for the spider webs and I used to go catch insects just to throw them in the web. That was our toys, man. That's all we had to do. We didn't have these games. And I used to watch how that was kind of cruel, yeah? You know, you take the life of a cricket and you throw it into the spider web, but you know, it was just a cricket and it was a science experiment. And I would watch the spider come and just wrap that thing up, and that was it. That insect was dead. It was toast. And I would be like, wow! I'd be so amazed at how fast that spider would come, and what it would do to that insect. And it was like, you know, when you think about that, you know, the enemy, Satan, he does that to us. It's like he puts a web out there of deception. And he's just waiting for us to look at it like, wow. And then we jump in and then we get all tangled up. Whether it be, for me, whether it be buying more tools. You know, every time I go shopping at the Home Depot, they always ask me at the register, would you like a Home Depot credit card? And then they start drooling. And like, no, please, no, don't give me one of those. It's going to get me, it's like the web. It's like trying to entice me to get that little orange credit card to go and buy more stuff. And they always ask me, no, I tell you what, ma'am, you can give me a Macy's credit card. That'd be fine. I have no problem with that. It's not a trap for me. But you give me the orange one? Oh, man. So I tell them, I don't want one. Don't even ask me. Thank you, but no, because it's going to get me in trouble with my wife and my finances. Yeah? So Satan does that, and he lays deceptive traps around us. His lies entangle us and to the point of death. And victory against Satan comes when we can understand him and depend on Jesus as our Savior And that we can use the tools that we find in the Bible for our spiritual battles. There is so much to be said about spiritual warfare. And, you know, we can cover this for weeks and for months. You know, when people, they come often and they ask, I need help. I'm battling this. I'm battling this. I'm having disputes in my family. I'm having a fight with my husband or my wife. And a lot of times, you know, when you, from the outside, you're looking in. And when you know how the enemy works, man, it's like crystal clear. I can see the enemy's hand in these attacks. And but sometimes when we're in the attack and we're fighting it, because we're so caught up, it's hard to see that the enemy is doing this. Sometimes we take things out on our spouse or our children, not understanding that it is not them, but it is the devil. And we need to kind of understand how the enemy works so that when these things come, we can automatically instantly think, okay, I see what's going on here. I see what's coming. And I see the devil's hand in this. So I'm not going to fall for this bait because I know what it would lead to. And it'll get me entangled more and more until I get so consumed by him that it's hard to get out. So here it is, number one. We have to understand Satan's motives. And we have, and his motives are, if you understand, his motives are crystal clear. In John 8:44, Jesus says this. He's talking to the religious leaders here. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So the actions, the attitudes of these leaders, okay, clearly identified them as followers of Satan. You know, they say that you can identify a tree by its fruit, right? Because an avocado tree is not going to give you papayas. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. As much as you may pray because you do not like avocados, you can pray for mangoes because everybody loves mangoes. It's not going to happen, right? So the fruit of these leaders were lies and deception. So Jesus said, you are a liar like your father. You know, the attitudes of these guys, the actions clearly stated who they were following. Right? Now, if I spoke to you in this way, and then you would see me on Facebook in front of, or going into the bars and doing all those stuff, you would say, what's going on? Right? That's not what he preaches. You would know me by my fruit. And hopefully, when I'm not in church, hopefully I am behaving the same way that I'm behaving here. I try not to act any differently. Like I said, the only time that I'm acting and that I'm faking is when I'm in the buffet line and I'm eating salad. I'm just trying to impress you. I was like, look at our pastor. He's so healthy. No way. I just tried. That's my fakest moment of all. Because normally I straight to the meat or straight to the dessert. Yeah. And that's that. Hopefully that we can be who we are. And people identify us by our fruit. Like, see, these leaders, they were lying. They were stealing. Their motives were all wrong. The Bible gives us a clear picture of what the devil is like and what he does. His characteristics, his motive, how he schemes and attacks. So when someone tells us something, we could usually tell if the truth, it's the truth or a lie, according to what the Bible says. The devil, he is really the enemy of life and truth, because the Bible says he comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. And if and you can evaluate whatever is going on in your life by, is it killing, stealing, or destroying? It's killing your joy, you know, trying to steal your relationships, you know. Then you can kind of look, okay, if the things that's going on in my life is kill, steal, destroy, then you can pretty much say, okay, that's not of God, that's the enemy. Amen? 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world. Now, notice in the scripture, the God is with a small g. It's not talking about our Heavenly Father God. But Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. I mean, sometimes if you ever share Jesus with somebody, and they just didn't get it. They just, some people don't. And the Bible says there's a veil over their eyes that they cannot see because the God of this world has blinded them. You know when you wake up in the morning, you see a beautiful sunrise, and you're just like, wow, God, thank you so much. Right? You guys do that, right? The people who God has blinded, they would like, wow, beautiful sunset. Thank you. They would not acknowledge God. They cannot see and they cannot understand. When you share about a miracle that happened in your life, they won't get it because the God of this world, who is Satan, has blinded their eyes. And a lot of times when we share with the gospel with others, we need to first pray that that veil that Satan has over their eyes be removed. Amen? In Genesis 3:1-7, it talks about how crafty the devil is. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, indeed, has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die, for God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit, ate it, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. You see how the enemy, he tempts us. He's so sly. And sometimes, if we can understand how sneaky he is, then we'll understand, because he might not come actually straightforward to you. He may come sneak around from the back or from the side doing other things. Yeah? And if you look at this, it always starts with the sight. You know, it starts when we see things. Yeah? We look with no intentions of taking, and then we take with no intentions of eating. And then we eat, and the next thing, you know, pow, because we fell for the web of Satan's lies. Because she probably did not intend to eat, but it just started with the sight. Like I said, man, if I was there in the beginning, I probably would have cut down that tree. Wow, temptation gone. I don't know if God would have allowed that, but I would have tried. But you could imagine living not knowing evil, just knowing good. What an amazing thought if we can even comprehend that. Yeah. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they might have life and have it to the abundantly. So he comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he is so sneaky. I believe sometimes that the enemy can come and he can make you prosperous. He can make you rich so that you never step foot into a church or never step foot into a fellowship with God, because you would be there having your millions, thinking like, well, I don't need anything now. I have all the money in the world I need. Why would I need anything else? Again, and right there, your salvation, everything, your fellowship, your relationship, gone. Kill, steal, and destroy. He could be very sneaky. Now, in all the problems that you may have, the fights, the misunderstandings, the road rage, how many of you get that? If you can kind of train yourself to look deeper into the source, maybe you would be able to see the hand of the thief, and then you would less likely to take that bait. You know, when I tell you, like, my traffic things, it's getting better. It's getting better. It's not where it needs to be, but you know, I hate when you're behind somebody, they drive slow, the light turns yellow, they step on the gas, and you're stuck at the red light. Oh, it like drives me nuts. And I was like, okay, Lord, you need me to wait for something, right? So maybe something on the radio is coming up. So I try to be patient and I listen. And it's like, if you would look and you think and you see how the enemy is using that to get under my skin so that you would see me in the car ranting and raving and all mad and, oh, look at him. That's the guy in front of the church every week. Look at him, and he's mad. And cause somebody to stumble. And the enemy, you know, gets like, yeah, I got him to do that. And I got somebody to see him do that. See? So if we can look at our problems and kind of look deeper into the source and the reasoning, then we would be able to see that the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's his only purpose. It doesn't come to make you rich, but to kill, steal, and destroy. And some way, shape, or form, he's going to try. He's going to try to get you to do something so that he can accomplish his purpose. So number two, always protect yourself. And this is a good way to protect yourself. Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. Many of us have come to know it as putting on the armor of God. How many of you have ever put on the armor of God? How many of you ever took it off? I never did, but I think I got like 1,000 layers of it on now. Yeah. Ephesians 6. And this is if you have your Bible, it's a good place to mark and to highlight. And if you have never written in your Bible, go for it. Write in it. Don't worry, God's not going to get mad if you write notes in your Bible. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Having done everything to stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. And taking up the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, as it's always good to pray this. As, you know, every morning before you go out, pray this. Put on that helmet and ask God that, I put this helmet on so that Spirit, the only Spirit I hear is you. Give me that sword of the Spirit, the word. Put your word. So this is the only offensive weapon that we have. Get that shield so that you can block all those accusations flying at you. It's a good way to start your day. That long day. Even when you go on vacation, put this on. Because I don't think the devil ever takes a vacation. He is constantly out there trying to get us to fall. Praying this prayer, and even as going too far as, you know, Psalms 91 is a really good prayer of protection. And that is a good prayer to pray. And then the next one, protect your mind and your heart. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You know, I was talking to a good friend the other day, and he was telling me he was promised this at his job. He was promised this at his job, but he was getting this. He was doing all the work required for this, but he was getting this. And as I was talking to them, I told him, hey, you know what? Protect your heart. Because when you're supposed to be getting this, but you're getting this, the bitterness can creep in to your heart. And from there, it can affect your relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers, and with everything. When that bitterness creeps in, man, it can really, really just stir things up and make you miserable. And being that you're miserable, you're going to make everybody around you miserable. So the Bible says, Proverbs says, guard your heart. You know, because we are faced with that every single day. When I'm driving, I got to guard my heart because there's so many people who, one guy, yesterday I just finished the funeral. I was coming past Kawamoto's. And if this guy never just pulled out in front of me, and I was like, whoa, I had to swerve into the other lane. Good thing never have cars coming to get at me because he just pulled out of nowhere. And I could get, if I got bitter and mad, and I would have just kept that and took that home with me and I've taken it out on my wife and my children. And sometimes those things happen. You ever had a bad day at work and bring it home? You kick the dog, kick the cat, you know, slam some dishes around, and then your spouse goes like, what's going on? What, nothing? And you're mad. How come dinner's not ready? And it's like, excuse me. It's like, oh, sorry, you know. But protect your heart because, oh, if we can let bitterness and unforgiveness creep in, oh, watch out, family. It's like when a hurricane is going to get loose in your house. And that's why it's always important to protect your heart. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober of spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Who do you think the devil's going to devour first or attack first? Man, he's going to attack the person who's out there all alone by themselves. And of course, if you are doing great things for God, accomplishing much, he's going to attack you too because he's not going to stand by, watch you expand God's kingdom. And if you are getting attacked, man, when I get attacked, I say, yeah, okay, that means I'm doing the right thing. I always say, whenever people come to me and say, oh, I'm struggling, I'm getting attacked, I said, well, thank God, because I believe you're on the right track. Because if you wasn't expanding the kingdom of God, if you wasn't doing his work, why would the devil want to attack you when he got you where he wants you? You know, we will experience attack from the enemy sooner or later. I mean, that's part of life. You know, when we get attacked, we can do one of two things. I mean, it'll either drive a wedge between you and God, or it will drive you closer to God. And it all depends on the choices you make. You know, because when we get attacked, we can woe is me and pity party and why me? Or we can say, you know what? I'm going to learn from this attack. I'm going to grow stronger, and I'm going to move forward. Amen. We need to use these things that the enemy does, the things that the enemy puts out there to kill, steal, and destroy. We need to use those things to push us closer to God and to strengthen our relationship. And then he's going to like, wow, my plans got foiled again. You know, when the scripture is saying that, you know, all things happen for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You know, when things happen to us, he's like, why? How can this be good? Because what the enemy has set out to kill, steal, and destroy, God will use to push you closer to him. And that's if you choose to. The problem is when we survive the temptation and we become victorious, we survive the trials and it's over and we've learned. Sometimes we tend to like let our guard down and we tend to drift a little bit, which is sad. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, that's what it's all about. The Israelites got attacked. They cried to God. They drew closer to God. Everything was good. They fell away. They got attacked. You know, they repented. It's I don't know how many thousands of years of that. Yeah, and the thing is, when we, in our victorious state, need to continue to stay close to God. Amen? We need to stick together. You know, together with each other, man, we can encourage one another. We can help each other overcome the schemes, the web of Satan. Amen? You put away your notes. We're going to take communion now. So would you welcome Pastor Aaron. Thank you, Pastor Aaron.
Thank you, Pastor Scott. Our ushers are going to be handing out the elements in just a minute here. Ushers, when you're ready, just go. You can go ahead. So you get the bread and the juice, and go ahead and hold on to that as they get them all out. Communion is something that we get to do with one another. Thank you, Shaq. That we get to because we choose to keep this tradition going. It's one of the few traditions in from the old times that we choose to do. And the reason why we choose to do it is because we don't want to ever forget what God has done for us. How many of you, when Pastor Scott was talking about throwing the cricket onto the spider web, how many of you ever felt like that cricket? Not that somebody else threw you onto the spider web, but you jumped up there. I don't know about you, but so many times in my life, I've been on that web. And what do? When we're like that, before the spider comes, we cry out to God, yeah? God, save me. And you know what? Because he's still here, he has. In my life, he's done that. But how many of you, just like me, forget so quickly and then end up in the spider web again? And we always do that. So communion is all about is that we will not forget that the God of all creation, the God of eternity, the God of heaven and earth, loved each and every one of us so much that he didn't want to spend eternity without us. And every time we're on that spider web, every time we choose to do something that is not according to his will, what we were not meant to do, that's called sin. Every time we sin, that's where we end up at, in that place that we will not get to spend eternity with God. But he loved us so much that he sent his only son to be the sacrifice, to pay the debt, not just for our past, but for all the times, all the things that we'll do today and tomorrow and for all of eternity. That's how much God loves us. And that's what we want to remember. So this morning, all joking aside, take this seriously. Because this is what God did for us. Let's not forget. Let's remember that God loves us. And let's love Him back in this way. Amen? Bible said that Jesus took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And then in the same manner, He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood, the ransom to pay for your sins, poured out for your sins. Go ahead and drink of the cup." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. We thank You greatly for loving us, Lord, when You never had to. Lord, don't let us forget. Don't let us end up in that spider web again and again and again. Don't ever let us forget how much You loved us and that You saved us, Lord. Teach us, Father, how to be people who are after Your will, who will always remember You, Your greatness, and Your love. Father, we thank You for this time that we get to be in communion with You and with one another. And as always, Lord, we pray Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Amen. Well, you can go ahead and pass your plastic cups. Pass them to the right this time. And then the ushers will come around and pick them up. And as you do, would you stand with us? And we're going to wrap up our time together by giving glory to the Lord.